It is great to see you. Thanks for saying amen. It's cool to be the body of Christ. Take your Bibles if you guys would this morning, and we are going to open up to the book of Acts chapter 2. We're going to look there. By the way, Jonathan and Pastor Ansu are passing out your homework. So you have to take it, by the way. We're going to check. We're going to check on you. Now, this will help you kind of solidify how we can grow in God's grace. Remember, that's our goal for the year, is to really grow in His grace, and hopefully that will help us to do that in the days ahead. There's at least one for every family, and there's a few more we're printing right now, so if you need some more, we got them as well. Let's just open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, dear God, for the day you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Father, that there is nothing too hard for you. And Lord, we just praise you, Lord, for the church, Lord, your church that you created to be a place, Lord, of love, of faith, and of encouragement. And I ask, Lord, today as we open up your word, Lord, that we would better understand, Lord, just how our fellowship, Lord, just fits into our growth as we think about that, as we look ahead to the rest of 2024. Lord, I ask that you would just work in our hearts, take away all the distractions. Help us, dear God, just to honor you and to do, Lord, these things, Lord, not to be just words, Lord, that we read and think about, but, Father, help us to be doers of your word even this morning. And, Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we dig in this morning, we're starting out, we'll continue our series, First Things First. And I want to just take us right to the next slide, Chris, if you would. And remember, we began the year, and what did we say? This year, we made a commitment that we're going to do what? We're going to grow. We're going to grow spiritually. We're not going to stay the way that we were. And by the way, that's how God works in us, is that He doesn't leave us the way we are. He wants to move us out. He doesn't expect perfection, but He certainly expects that we would grow in His grace, you know, hopefully daily as we're in His word and as we are challenged by His word in every setting that we hear it. We want to move right on down to the next slide this morning, and we want to think about this concept today. And by the way, this is one of those churchy words. It's called fellowship. You know, and we want to talk about the fact that there is a force in fellowship. In other words, fellowship is powerful. It's life-changing. You know, and I'll share with you guys as we kind of stop and think about that. This year for Christmas, Dan and his girlfriend Lindsay, they gave us something called an aero garden. Anybody know what that is? An aero garden. It's this. It's like this little box that you put in seeds. You know, we like to garden a little bit as a family. You put seeds into it, and it has a light on, a plant light, and it is lit for like 15 hours a day. So if you came to my house last night, like 1 o'clock in the morning, this light is so bright. We don't need to have like a dining room light anymore. It's so bright. And the idea is to really fuel the growth of these plants. And I say that when we come into God's house and we rub shoulders with each other, we exchange words with each other, we share what's going on in our lives, God uses that to be this greenhouse to grow us. Because when we come here, you know, not only are we going to hopefully be encouraged, we're going to experience love, we're going to communicate with each other, we're going to remind each other about the good things that God is doing and that He's faithful. But you know what? Sometimes we're going to get together and we're even going to sin against each other. And God is going to use that as an opportunity to teach us how to forgive. You know, we're not going to be perfect, are we? We're not the perfect church. There really isn't anyone in the area or anywhere on earth. So we're going to make mistakes. We're going to do things wrong. We're going to do things right. And we're going to learn to love each other just like we are unconditionally as Jesus loves us. And that's kind of that force of fellowship that God wants us to understand. And we can't have it unless we come together. And you remember, we talked about this week as a staff. Remember what it was like when during the pandemic, You guys remember that? Remember the first time, the first Sunday when everything was closed down, we tried to get everybody on a conference call. And that was better than nothing, but we had nothing else to do. Remember we moved to Zoom? And the greatest thing in Zoom was we got to see at the end, we got to see everybody's faces. And we're all trying to talk over each other and you know, hey, Eunice, hey, how's everybody doing, right? You remember that? But that was like a breath of fresh air in a time when it was just so dark and we didn't know what was going to happen next. And that's the force of fellowship. And that's what we're going to kind of think about today as we move on. So Chris, take us right to the next slide. And you know, I'll throw this out. Don't we hear this all over the world? We hear constantly that we can do more together than we can do separately. Is it really true? And I think it really is. And we're going to listen to God's word this morning, and we're going to find out how does that work. So, Chris, take us right along, and we're going to dive in. The eternal truth I want you guys to get a hold of today, and we laid the foundation. We said the foundation of a fruitful year, a blessed year, is a genuine commitment to spiritual growth. And if we truly seek the Lord with all our heart, we're going to find him, and we're going to grow in a life-giving relationship with him. And here's the deal. Here's where fellowship fits into that. A deepening fellowship with God. And we'll talk about that. Fellowship, by the way, is vertical with God, and it's horizontal with each other. But a deepening fellowship with God and a deepening fellowship with and a developing fellowship with believers will enhance my spiritual growth. It absolutely will. So if we're faithful to come together, I guarantee we're going to grow. I guarantee that we're going to be encouraged. And I can't remember, some days, and this is a sad reflection on life. Sometimes, you know, as a pastor, sometimes Sunday morning, I don't want to wake up either. And, by the way, anybody, can I get an amen? Amen. All the people said amen, right? All the people said amen. Especially when you saw this morning, it was 19 degrees outside. You said, ooh, that Zoom thing was pretty good. Right? But I guarantee when we come together, I very seldom, if ever, I can remember, go home and say, boy, I wish I would have stayed in bed. Right? And again, that's that force of fellowship that we're talking about this morning. So we're going to go right into our next thought today. Remember we talked about the character qualities that we need to develop? We're not going to forget those. That's sort of the path that we read about in 2 Peter. This is what we got to work on, our faith, our character, our virtue, our knowledge, our self-control, our perseverance, our godliness, our brotherly kindness, and our love, right? Those are the things that God is trying to shape within us and develop within us. And that's where we want to go with that. And Chris, go right down to the next slide. In fact, you can skip that one and take us right to defining fellowship this morning. So let's talk about what is this thing called fellowship? Because by the way, when you guys go to work, do you ever say, hey, you guys, let's get together for some fellowship tonight? Do you? If they're Christians, they kind of know what you mean. If they're not, they're probably like going, what? What are you talking about? What is this thing? So we're going to look at those two words that really help us define fellowship. First word is the word koinonia. That's a Greek word. And sometimes it's kind of come over. You'll see ministries called koinonia. We'll talk about what that means. Second word is the word allelon, and that's that idea about one anothering. We'll look at that. We're going to talk about the ways that fellowship works. One is vertically with the Lord. The second one is horizontally with each other. We're also going to talk about the work of the Holy Spirit. Because what makes church and what makes fellowship really work is not only are your friends and family here, the Holy Spirit's here. Matthew 18 says this. It says, where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst of them. So when we take the Holy Spirit and we add in God's people and we add in God's word, something explosive is going to go on. It's going to be changing. And that's what we want to think about today. So we're going to jump right on in. Let's just take a minute. Let's just define for us for a second this morning. What is this thing called fellowship? What are the words? And I put it up on the screen. You can kind of jot some things down. So the first word is this Greek word. It's the word koinonia. Write this down. The idea of koinonia is the word means common. The New Testament is written in a part of a Greek language, and it's called Koine Greek. In other words, common Greek. God didn't write the New Testament in classical Greek so that only the intellectual people could figure out what God has done. He wrote it in Koine Greek, what is common, right? And that's why I want you to get a hold of that for a second. Everybody look up for a minute. What do we hold in common at First Baptist Church? Jesus Christ. I'm going to kid around. Some of you guys is going, we love rice. I know Eunice was gonna say it, so I had to say it, right? We love rice, right? But I'll tell you what, we love Jesus more than we love rice, right? We love Jesus, and that's what we hold in common. And look at us, by the way. We came from all kinds of places. We've been through all kinds of stuff. We had all kinds of mess and all kinds of things happen to us. And the one thing that unites us together, no matter what the color of our skin is, where we came from, what we support, what we don't, the one thing that brings us here is Jesus Christ. He died for us. He rose again for us. That's what unites us together. And remember that idea of the word koinonia, right? Common. What's common is Jesus is common. And when we go to the New Testament, when we go to the book of Acts chapter 2, where we're going to look at in a minute, those people came from all over, right? And what was common is Jesus. Jews didn't like Greeks, and Greeks didn't like Jews. But guess what? In Jesus, they found a way to come together as one. You know, and that's the difference. So this idea of common, get that in your mind. What's common? And always remember, what's common is Christ is common. And get this in your mind. Here's the idea of this word, then, koinonia. What happens? What is koinonia all about? And obviously the word fellowship. But it's this idea of we are associated together because of Christ. We are in community because of Christ. We are in communion, and we celebrate that ordinance called communion because of Christ. We are in joint participation. We work together. Why? Because of Christ. And we touch each other and have contact with each other. Why? Because of Christ. Everybody look up. Would you hang out with this crew if it wasn't for Jesus? Think about it, right? And I'll throw this out in a serious way, and I say that kind of tongue in cheek. In a serious way, would our paths cross if it wasn't for Jesus? It wouldn't really, right? Like, you know, people hang out with people like themselves. When you come here, there's kind of like nobody like each one of us. We're all different. But we come together because of Christ. And I'll throw this out. Look down at verse 1, or point number 1 there. It says, the share or the sharing which one has in anything. And here's a big part of koinonia about fellowship is that we share. We share what God has done. We share the experience of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. We share our talents. We share our love. Paul said this in 1 Thessalonians. He said, they gave their very selves. We give. We share ourselves. We share our resources. We share our money. We share everything about us because of Christ. And the idea of koinonia is we share. You know, it's just so cool to see when we share how much better things happen. You know, I'll share with you a couple things this week, which was really, really cool. We're actually working on a project. We're going to redo some Sunday school rooms, right? And we have great ideas. And Chris Minot, he's just working hard on it right now. And he had this problem. By the way, how many guys, men, you're doing a job, and sometimes you get to a place you just want to hit your head on the wall? Like, why won't this thing work? Like, you read the instructions 1,000 times. You know, you went to YouTube now. You go to YouTube because you can fix anything. You could do surgery from YouTube, right? You go to YouTube, and it still's not working. Right? You do all these things and you can't figure it out. And it was so cool. This week, Chris and George, George Wabadiki, by the way, not only can George beat a drum, but he can do some electrical stuff too. So it's kind of cool. So George was able to figure out what Chris was ripping his hair out about in just a short time. And that's the body of Christ. Isn't that kind of cool? You know, and again, that's this idea of we just share what needs to be done, right? And it says there, it says, in the benefits of Christ's death and resurrection to obtain fellowship in the blessings of the Son of God. What a blessing it is that God put us together as a body to work together. Like we are the ultimate team. We need some jerseys, right? And we're not so worried about the name on the back, but we know Jesus' name is on the front. Amen. Right? That's what we're talking about here. And then notice the next thing, and kind of that next idea is this idea of contact. And, you know, when we have bring new members into our church, we're going to bring some new folks in, right? What do we give them? We give them the right hand of fellowship. We touch them with that fellowship, and that's like a sign and a pledge of we are going to one another, each other, in the process of life. No, and it fulfills even the apostolic office of the apostles. And it's use of this intimate bond, of this connection which unites us. And the fact that Christians are partakers in common. We're in common with the same mind of God in Christ and all the blessings that come from it. And then here's the deal about fellowship too. Fellowship is also about giving. It's like this gift, and you know, the big technical word there says benefaction. You know, we give it for good. But the idea is that we give gifts. They're jointly contributed. We collect them. We collect them as one. And that gift, by the way, could be our talent, our idea. It could be our money. It could be our food. It could be whatever we got. We share it as the body of Christ. And that's sort of this idea of koinonia. So when you hear that idea, what do we hold in common? Christ. And that's what drives us to do all that other stuff as we share everything that we own. I want to go down quickly, if you would, there for me there, Christopher. Notice the next thing as we stop and we think about that, we think about koinonia. Here's what it's really all about. Koinonia is about this interactive relationship between God and believers who are sharing new life in Christ. I want y'all to look up for a second. If it wasn't for Jesus, would I be sharing any of that stuff? Not much. Maybe a little. Maybe some of us are like naturally, you know, we want to give, you know, see your neighbor, you see need, you want to do it. You know, it may be in some of us naturally. But you know what? Without Christ, we're not going to do it. So this interaction between the Lord in heaven and between believers is what this idea of fellowship is all about. And I took this quote out, which was really good about from Bible Study Tools, it's called. It just says, the Greek word captures the entirety of this relationship. It involves active participation in Christian community. By the way, everybody look up. Did you get that word? What kind of participation? So get this. As the body of Christ, we're going to grow this year. It means that we are all on the team. And we're all on the first team, and we all play in the game each time. Like, and I'll throw this out. When you go, like, you know, today, this afternoon, we'll watch football, right? And there'll be 70,000 people watching 22 people pummel each other. Isn't that right? 70,000 watching 22. But in the Church of Jesus Christ, it's supposed to be all of them watching and supporting each other as they play the game. You know, it's kind of like, you know, when you play like sandlot sports, when you're growing up as a kid, you don't go to the field to watch everybody play. You go to the field to do what? To play, right? So Christianity is not a spectator sport. Christianity is a participant sport. And some of you guys are going, you're getting a little uncomfortable going, they're going to ask me to do something. You're right. And I'll throw this out. If it doesn't work out, we'll ask you to do something different. Okay? If it does work out, we'll keep asking you to do that too, right? But that's the idea. And by the way, part of being the body of Christ is we can see from the outside what you can't see on the inside. We have that ability to see in a far-sighted way your gifts, your talent, your ability, what God has created you to do. Sometimes, you know, on the inside, you know, we're fearful. I can't do that. I don't know how to do that. You know, we kind of cower under all those things. But the body sees what you got, what you're good at. And that's kind of cool. So this idea of active participation, sharing in spiritual blessings, and check this out. Look, it says, giving material blessings. Somebody needs something? Bam! We're there to do it. We're there to give it up, whatever it is, right? So koinonia. Here's the next word. Just got to get this in your mind real quick. This is a little shorter. Take us down, Christopher, if you would, to the next point. There's another Greek word. And by the way, it's kind of a cool word. It's called allelon. Allelon. And the idea is this, one another. And you can see the definition there. And by the way, there is 59 different verses of Scripture that use this word. And most of them are directed at believers in Jesus Christ like us about some things that we can do. And I want you to get this in your mind. Look what it says. It's called a reciprocal pronoun. That's real. That's not a very technical thing. What's that mean? What's reciprocity? In other words, it means that you do something and I do something. We give and we give and we get and we give and we keep doing that, right? It's reciprocal. So we one another each other. And here's one of the great commands of the New Testament, right? It says, as Christians, we ought to do what? Love one another. When we come Sunday, or any week time during the week, when I get together with you guys, we ought to do what? Encourage one another. There is no shortage of a need for encouragement. We ought to encourage one another. We ought to pray for one another. Man, the body of Christ, we are getting beat up all the time. We need to pray for each other. We need to honor each other, confess our sins even to each other, all those kinds of things. That's the idea of allelon. And 59 verses kind of play that out, and we'll look at that as we move on in just a second. So here's the next thing. So we understand, we got a little handle on fellowship. Tell me about fellowship. What's the key word about koinonia? What's the key word? Common, right? What do we got in common? Christ. Right. All the people say what? Amen, right? Amen. What we got in common is Christ, right? Koinonia is what? What's the key word about koinonia? We are sharing. We are here to be encouragers. We are sharing. We're here to create that greenhouse, that aero garden where we are going to grow as we rub shoulders with each other. Iron is going to sharpen iron indeed, right? So now we'll talk about what are the two ways of fellowship. And we're going to look at this from the book of 1 John. So the two ways is this, right? Everybody get this in your mind. Everybody get your hands out. We're going to kind of wake up this morning. You gotta move around. It's cold out there. You got to move, right? I was shoveling snow. My toes were freezing, right? So we got to move to kind of get warmed up. So there's two ways of fellowship. Here's the first way, right? The first way is vertical, right? I'm down here and God is up there. So I got to fellowship vertically with God, right? The second thing we got to think about is I got to fellowship horizontally, right? This way. Everybody do it. You guys watching me up here, do this. Let's go. Come on. Right? We got to fellowship horizontally. By the way, if you hit your neighbor, that gave you a chance to say you're sorry. All right? So that's part of that Christian experience. All right? So we gotta do it vertically and horizontally. And look what it says in 1 John. John wrote this epistle, right, to believers, and he said, that which was from the beginning, he's talking about Jesus, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you. And that's what John said. You know, as a missionary, John's saying, we are declaring to you, Jesus is the Messiah. We touched him, we saw him, we heard him speak to us, he explained things to us, we live with them, we walk with them, he's the one. And look what he says, we declare that to you that you also may have what? Fellowship with us. Everybody, so fellowship with us, what? Horizontal. We have that thing in common. We have Christ in common. We have that fellowship with us. And he says, and truly our fellowship is with who? With the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. That's that vertical piece. And these things we write to you, what? That your joy might be what? Full. And I'll throw this out. Think about this just for a second. So if I am in a right relationship with God vertically, God is speaking to me through his word. He is answering my prayer. I sense his presence. I live in his power. I have his peace. And my life and my relationships horizontally with my family and with the people of God and the people I work with, if those things are going well, what does that do? It gives me joy. You understand? So it takes this and this equals joy. And God wants us to have that joy. And by the way, I throw this out. This relationship with God is the foundation, because this relationship with each other is not going to be the same unless the vertical one is working right. Unless God is speaking into my life, I'm going to be the selfish, non-sacrificial person I always was. But if God is speaking into my life and I'm responding in the power of the Holy Spirit to him, all of a sudden I become a much more lovable person on earth. Amen. Doesn't that make sense? Yeah. So the vertical is right, the horizontal will be right. If the horizontal is going to be messed up, guess what? It messes up the vertical too. If I'm being sinful and wicked and selfish to all of you, it messes up my relationship with God. But when I confess my sin, I fix that, and then I can fix this. Right? And that's kind of what the Lord's talking about here. There's this fellowship is two-way, and they work off of each other, and it's so important to understand that and to kind of begin to move in those directions. A fellowship that our joy can be full. Chris, go to the next one, if you would. The ways. And I'll share with you kind of what I just said. This isn't how John described this. He said, this is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And all the people said, what? Amen. Amen to that, right? But look what he says. He says, if we say that we have fellowship with him, in other words, I'm treating my brother in Christ like a dog. I'm in fellowship with God. I just don't like this other person. He's my brother, but man, I wish he wasn't, right? If we say that we have fellowship with him but walk in darkness, it says what? We lie and do not practice the truth. In other words, if I'm living crazy here on earth, I can't say I'm walking in the light. Because everyone else is going like, man, you got to get a brighter light. Something's wrong here, right? And he says this phrase, he says, but if we walk in the light, if that relationship with the Lord is working, God's speaking to me and he's convicting me and he's changing me and he's pointing out sin and I have to go, God, you're right. God, you're right. I got to change. It says what? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with what? One another. Yeah, does that make sense? Like if I'm following God's commands, all of a sudden people on earth kind of feel like I'm a little easier to live with. You know, we could use that starting right in our homes, can't we? And he goes on, he says, and the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. You know, we're getting better. We're growing, which is the goal, isn't it, right? So the evidence of our fellowship is right there. Now, next part real quick. The work of the Holy Spirit. Think about this. If God's Spirit was not convicting you, if God's Spirit was not helping you understand God's word, if God's Spirit wasn't kind of like comforting you and just moving you in God's direction, none of this would take place. And look what Paul wrote this in Philippians. He said, therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, and look what he says, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, and he says these words, fulfill my joy, being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, being of one mind. And here's the point. I want to get this idea in our minds, right? If it wasn't for the Spirit of God uniting us, it would be impossible. one way, folks from Liberia think another way. How would that possibly unite unless the Spirit of God was working in both people groups? Right? And it cuts every direction, right? Not just nationality, but it cuts across socioeconomics. You know what? In our world, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. But in the Church of Christ, we share so that we all live and are able to support each other in this world. Right? See the difference? Like, it cuts across everything. Socioeconomics, ethnicity, culture. It cuts across all that stuff because the Spirit of God is the one who is working in us to make us have. By the way, he says one accord. He doesn't mean Honda. He means one mind. One purpose. Like, and as a team, our job as a team is we are singular in our purpose, which is to glorify God by making disciples of Jesus Christ. That's the goal. That's the plan. That's where he wants us to be. And the Spirit of God just cuts through all that stuff, no matter what it is, to make us who he wants us to be. And look what he continues. He says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Everybody look up. Isn't that how we normally work? Someone says, hey, you did that wrong. No, I didn't. Isn't that the first word on your mouth? What do you mean? Right? Not being humble instead, right? But selfish ambition drives us, conceit drives us. He says, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only on his own interests, but also for the interest of others. Come back again to our world. In our world, are the people of our world worried about you? They're worried about them. But again, as the Spirit of God works, through the power and the force of fellowship, all of a sudden, my world gets bigger. It's beyond just me. All of a sudden, I care about you. You know? And you care about me. But in our own selves, I just care about me. You know, God changes that. And that's what this one-mindedness is. It's the one-mindedness of purpose, of oneness and purpose. The idea of just living out our faith, loving each other, encouraging each other. So when you think about on a Sunday morning, when you get ready to come here, think of three things. Faith, love, and encouragement. That's why we're gathering. Faith, love, and encouragement. Now throw this out. We're not just coming to get it, but we're coming to give it. Because we're all players. Nobody's on the bench, right? Nobody's on the injured list. We all come in here to do what? To give. To give. To give. Because that's the idea. We're here to share. We're here to give. And if we do that, the body's going to grow. And this place is going to be like the greatest hospital on earth. Physically, mentally, spiritually, and every other L-Y word I can think of. Right? It's going to be that kind of place. And that's where God wants us to move to. And that's the idea of what the Spirit is doing. Christopher, take us to the next one. Acts chapter 2. And I'm going to share with you quickly on this idea. Acts chapter 2, just get this in our mind. We're going to celebrate Pentecost Sunday, by the way. This year it's May 19th. Pentecost Sunday, what's that all about? The coming of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the church. And as we look at this passage, you know, we read about what took place in Acts chapter 2. It says, after these people received Jesus Christ, look what they did in their fellowship. It says, they continued steadfastly. I want you guys to write this down. Here's the idea of continuing steadfastly. You know what it is? These people were devoted to God, and they were devoted to each other. In other words, if something goes wrong in your life, the rest of us, we coming over. If something goes wrong in my life, you're coming over. We were sharing that, by the way, in our staff meeting this week. You know, it's so sad sometimes in Christendom, you'll see like a prominent pastor, teacher, somebody on the radio, someone on TV, they'll fall. And the issue is, most times there's not much accountability. People get away with a lot because they're the boss and nobody checks them. But praise God, I want to say this about our deacon board. I wouldn't be able to get away from these guys. Amen. Amen. That's true. A lot of people said amen, right? And Pastor Ansel, I couldn't get away from him either, right? And vice versa. Like, if something's going on, we all know, and we're there. And that's the body. That's what the body needs to do. And we laugh, and we joke, and we're friendly, and we care about each other, but we care about each other so much that we're there for each other. And that's what the body is all about. That's what the body life is supposed to do. And it says, they continue steadfastly. It says, and they were in the apostles' doctrine. They were studying God's word, because God's word was constantly changing them. And it says, and there's that word, fellowship. You know what that means? They were sharing, they were giving, they were loving, they were encouraging, they were praying, they were doing all these things. And it says in the breaking of bread, they got together, like we do it once a month on the first Sunday, right? They broke the bread to remember that what unites us is Jesus. Amen. And they might have, by the way, said they met every, maybe they broke the bread every day. And it could be they ate some meals together too. And we don't do that as a church. You know, we kind of eat the little biscuit, right? But they actually had an agape, a love feast together where they brought all their stuff. And then they celebrated, Jesus is why we're here. Then they did those things. And it says, and in prayer. And by the way, that's where it says, then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. By the way, you know, the Bible says this perfect love casts out all fear. But the idea here, I think, is these people, their relationship with God vertically was good, and they were afraid to disappoint and disobey God. And that's a good place. They had a respect for God, a love for God, and that drove them as they lived their lives. And look what it says. It says, fear came upon, and it says, and God did what many signs and wonders were done through them. And get this, look at verse 44. It says, now all who believed were what? Again, there's the idea of what? Common, right? They had koinonia. They had alelon. They were one another in each other, right? They were together. A unity of purpose and heart in one accord, right? They were together. And it says, and they had all things in common. And that even means this, right? Uh-oh, there's a need. By the way, that's what usually happens. I'm ready to throw it, and then all of a sudden, my thumb gets stuck. You know, right? But that's kind of the idea, right? Like, but the idea is we had all things in common. I can let go of that because God will refill it if I need it to, right? God will refill it. He's the source, you know? And it says, he continues, it says, and check this out. You remember Ananias and Sapphira? They sold their possessions, and they said, hey, we gave it all to the church, and they ran with it. And God took their lives. They died, right? But it says, these guys, they sold their possessions and goods, and they divided them among all as anyone had need. So they shared what they had, substance-wise. And you know, by the way, when all of us come together, we share what God blessed us with, man, we can do some amazing things. Some amazing things. Things don't even make sense. Things are deeper possible with God, and not they're possible. So it's so amazing. That's what this idea is. One mind of Christ. Openness and faith, purpose, love, and encouragement. We'll get on to the next slide. And check this out. It says, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and the breaking of bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Write down this note real quick. When it says simplicity of heart, another way to translate that would make more sense is a singleness. They weren't just trying to accomplish their goals. They had one purpose, to glorify God by making disciples and being the church. And it says, by the way, look at the result. They praised God and they had favor with what? All people. And doesn't that illustrate what we said? When I got this part right, that vertical thing with God, then this part works a whole lot better. Even the unbelievers want to hang out with you. Because you're a source of light and hope and grace to them. And that's that work of the Spirit as we go. Christopher, take us down. How do I develop fellowship? So you kind of get all that, I guess, now, hopefully, right? You get it. So what do I need to do? What are some steps that I can take that are simple and plain? What can I do? The means. And then what are some of the measures? And I want you guys to get this in my mind. First, you got to get the measures. What are some of the measures of my fellowship with God and people when we gather together? One, when we gather, somebody's here. That's a good thing. And we gather, there's a purpose. There's a spirit about it. There's love. There's compassion. There's hope. There's joy. There's praise. When we gather, something's going on, right? And by the way, needs. People in the church are going, I don't know what to do. Because God said, here's somebody, they're going to take care of that need. The needs will be met. You know, there's going to be joy. People are going to say, man, I want to be part of that. You know, by the way, when we praise God in this church, the praise is amazing. You feel it in your heart. Like, there's this joy, there's this hope. There's this, man, I'm so glad I'm here, and I'm so glad I'm God's. There's joy. And then there's growth. Like, we literally are not what we were. You know? We're not what we're going to be, but we're sure not what we were. Right? That growth thing happens. And Chris takes that real quick. You know, I just leave with one another's, by the way. How many one another's are there? I said it a couple times. 59. By the way, take out your homework, people. Take it out. There they are. There's the 59 of them, right? They're there. It says on the front, right? It says one another. So you're saying, how in the world, how am I going to make this happen in my life? By the way, the one another's, if you group them together, one third of them are what about what? Unity. That one mind, that one accord, on page two. One mind, one accord, that one purpose of life. One third about unity. The next third are all about what? Love. How do I love? What do I do with that? Because the Lord says that. Through love, serve one another. Tolerate one another. Everybody look up. Think about that. In the church, man, there's people that kind of like, man, they don't think like you, they don't look like you, they don't dress like you do. You know, they don't do anything like you do. You know what? In Christ's church, we tolerate one another. Because we know that God has them there for a reason. By the way, here's a cool thing. If everyone thought like we did, we would never change our mind because we think we're right. So the fact that somebody thinks different about things gives us a perspective. Because I'll tell you what, everybody look up. God doesn't think like you. And I'll throw this out, just to be clear, God don't think like me either. Right? And the goal is that we want to begin to think like God, right? So one third is about love. And then about 15% or about a sixth is what? About humility. Well, that could go a long way in helping our relationships, right? Because pride just is, remember the Bible says, pride does what? Pride goes before a fall. So pride's bad. And then there's a whole bunch about, like, don't judge, you know, greet each other with a holy kiss. Husbands and wives, you know, do this. Bear one another's burdens. Speak truth to one another. And there's some miscellaneous ones as well. So here's the thought. I gave you this to say, this week, practice one or two. Look at your life and say, hey, you know what? Man, I could really, here's one, by the way, look at number two. Don't grumble among one another. Is there any grumblers here? No, they're at the other church. No, they're not really there. Thank God they're not here, right? Thank God they're not here. Don't grumble. Now, in a serious way. When we come together, it ought to be encouraging and hopeful. You know, we're not just bringing all our garbage and smelling it together. You don't need to grumble, right? You know, and have a be of the same mind, accept one another. Could we work on that one?
Yes.
I don't like that. They don't do this. Accept them. You know, those are the kind of things to think about. So I want to challenge you with, that's how we are going to grow. That's our means and the whole idea, right, when we come together is what? Say it with me. Faith, love, and what? Encouragement. Faith, love, and encouragement. So we are going to close this afternoon. And I want to encourage you guys. Remember what? The force of what? Fellowship is powerful. It's like a greenhouse to make us grow. So let's just pray. By the way, if anybody has a spiritual need today, maybe you don't know Christ, and you're saying, man, I am such a mess, I just need hope in this life. I want to encourage you, would you either come down during our song, Pastor Ann Sue and I are here, say something to us at the door, call us on the phone, grab a neighbor in the pew, they'll direct you if you need help, but seek us out. We're here, we're like the hospital, we are not the country club. So you got a need, that's what we're all about, right? And I want to throw out to you today. Let's honestly take a look at this. Think about this. It's made so it kind of fits in your Bible. If you have a regular size Bible, and you can fold it over and put it in your pocket. And tomorrow, open it up and go, wow, I'm not going to grumble today, even to my wife, you know, or whatever it is, right? So take that. Think about some practical things that you can put in place to be in fellowship vertically with the Lord and horizontally with each other. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thanks for your word today. We ask, Lord, that you would just work in our hearts and our minds, Lord. And Father God, change us, Lord, one step at a time. Help us, Lord, to continue to grow in your grace. And I pray, dear God, that our fellowship, our time that we spend together, Lord, and I pray that we would focus on even just doing that, Lord, spending more time together so that you could really accelerate our spiritual growth. Thank you for what you're going to do now through your word and by your spirit. Father God, bless these people. Lord, we love each other. And I pray, dear God, that you would cause that love to grow in deeper ways and in more practical ways and in more ways that would just cause the whole body to grow, Lord, in your grace and knowledge. And Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen.